when you see something disturbing or roll your insanity die, and you get higher than your current sanity insanity, you add 1 to your score. And then when you get to 5, you have a chance to maybe lower that again, which I can describe if that happens. And when you hit 6 insanity, your mind breaks, you're utterly insane, and you have a little spotlight moment describing how that happens.
Oh. Look, I have the Cthulhu Dark PDF. I'll be darned.
Well, there you go.
I think I got it somewhere, too.
I mean,
it's been a long time since I played it, though.
It's pretty easy. I mean, the reason you have the 3 dice is 1's your insanity die, and then if you're trying to do something that's within just human capabilities, you roll 1 die. If it's within your occupational expertise, you get an additional die, and then you have your insanity die. So if your insanity rolls higher than any other die, you make an insanity roll. Basically, the levels of success on when you're trying to do stuff is on a 1, you get the bare minimum, or bad things happen. And on a 4, you get basically competent investigator results. And then 5, you get everything possible. On a 6, you glimpse beyond human knowledge and maybe make an insanity roll. So it's just different varying levels of success. If you think it would be more interesting if someone fails after they've succeeded, you can roll 1 of your die to try and make them fail. Only if you roll higher. If you don't roll a success and you're trying to do something, you're able to re-roll by including your insanity die. But then if your insanity die is higher than your re-roll, then you have to make an insanity roll.
I had just recently downloaded, I guess maybe a month ago, this Halloween Dark, which is the same rules, more or less, and came with a Halloween Dark adventure, which I have not read yet.
Well, I've played this and one other Cthulhu Dark scenario, and they were both really, really fun.
I played one that was really fun. It was years and years ago, and it was with, man, it was with somebody.
Well, that's good. Better than with nobody.
Absolutely.
That's what I want. There we go.
And so I emailed you guys your character descriptions.
Yep.
Got it.
And we'll see if anyone else pops on. It's a minimum 3 game. So, right now, kind of the perfect amount. But we'll see who else pops on.
Oh, there's our tech support. No, yeah. Sorry, tech support was already here.
No.
Engineering has showed up, finally.
They always think they're special.
Yep.
They're always so quiet.
That too.
I can't figure out how to work their mic.
Well, you know, engineers have trouble getting their mics turned on and stuff. It's probably trying to improve it.
Probably trying to contact tech support.
Oh, that's true. He's yapping away and taking lunch break.
Have you tried turning it off and on again?
Exactly. Yeah. So we don't hear you yet. That's not obvious, Jonathan.
He's lost his voice from the convention.
Yeah. See, that sounds like Jonathan's typing, though.
It does. Yeah, we can hear your typing, which is weird.
I would say audio is not the only problems you have, Jonathan, but, you know.
But you only say that when he can't talk back.
Yeah, exactly. It's a perfect opportunity.
Oh, I can hear you now.
There we go. We can hear you. Oh, so you couldn't hear us.
I couldn't hear you. No, it turns out if you
that's
don't
probably
fully,
just as well.
Yeah.
If you don't fully connect the headphones.
Yeah, they don't work so well.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Looks like this is probably all we're going to get. It's already 7:08.
Yep.
We might have an errant Randall show up at some time.
You never know.
Jonathan, you're familiar with Cthulhu Dark?
Vaguely. I've just looked through some of the rules. And I believe I've played it once before, but could always do with a recap.
Quick rundown. Three dice. You have 3d6. One of them preferably a different color than the others. That'll be your insanity die. Your insanity starts at 1. I already shot you your character description, as well as the others. When you try and do something, if it's just normally within human capabilities, you roll 1 die. If it's within your occupational expertise, you get to add your second die. And if you're ever rolling your insanity die and your insanity die rolls highest, you will have to make an insanity roll. If you roll higher than your current insanity on an insanity roll, you raise your insanity score by 1. If you get to 6, bad stuff happens and you go insane. If you think it would be better if someone failed something they succeeded at, you can try and challenge their roll. If you roll higher than theirs, they fail in the way you describe. If you're not happy with the roll that you had on one of your attempts to do something, you can re-roll by including your insanity die, but that has its own risks. Because if that roll is the highest, then you make an insanity check. And that's about it.
Okay.
And we'll say, I mean, I think everyone also has 6 health, we'll say. Starting at 6. And with that, I think we can get going. So this is Bubbles and Troubles, written by Jameson McDaniel. And using the Cthulhu Dark Rules by Graham Walmsley. So, a little bit of intro. Or have you guys started a notes, or does someone want to start a notes and I can drop some stuff in?
We haven't. We can. I will. I am starting them. Let's see here. New doc. Sharing. All right, hopefully that does something.
Are we going to do the thing where the first link doesn't work and you have to reshare?
Probably.
No, but... you've done it. You've done it. It's amazing.
In one try.
Well, you are the IT engineer.
You didn't see me turn off my computer, but I did.
All right, so why don't you guys introduce your characters, and if you maybe have thought of any kind of description of how they are, what they look like, that's up to you. You guys all know each other. You're all part of a team. You guys are basically a maintenance team, kind of like a backup crew team that goes in and, you know, kind of does check up on the station. Doctor, you check up with the other doctor on board. But basically, you guys are a little crew that work together. And you've currently been on R&R.
What station are we talking about? Where are
so,
we?
So, I will explain that in a moment. But basically, just setting up the fact that you guys are, you know each other. You've worked with each other for a while now.
Okay.
So, little intro. In 2002, a dive team brought back samples and pictures of a lost city off the coast of the Philippines. These samples were retrieved from roughly 3,000 meters below sea level. To date, the deepest a researcher team has ever reached was 10,000 meters. After reviewing records, the dive team found that their sonar had picked up an outline of an actual city. Unfortunately, the team was unable to go further down due to their robot's inability to withstand depths beyond 4,000 meters. Enter several large corporations. These corporations entered into a joint venture to build the first deep-sea lab / archaeological dig site. In exchange for large tax breaks from the government for building the structure, the corporations were also leasing out areas to different universities around the world. The Nautilus Biosphere, or NBS for short, is a marvel unto herself. Taking her maiden descent on May 1st, 2012, she is able to dive down 10,000 yards and maintain structure. The station is a series of domes connected by long tube walkways. Each dome sits atop bags filled with a new chemical mixture that can change its density at will, causing the spheres to drop and rise as needed. This is crucial due to the excavation being done below the station, headed up by Dr. Brandon Wiley Prescott. It's currently docked just above the lost city, only known as Lay. You're part of the team that does routine maintenance on the deep ocean structure, known as the Nautilus Biosphere. You're coming back from the latest round of R&R. And you guys are quickly descending beneath the choppy waves in a submersible heading towards the NBS.
Cool.
And, yeah. There's a couple people that you guys know or need a little more background on the NBS. There's Dr. Prescott, who I mentioned. He's kind of a wunderkind. He's a 19-year-old expert in archaeology, and he's the one heading up this project. The main doctor on board, which you would most likely be familiar with, he's actually your very good friend, Dr. Lapointe, would be Dr. John Rutherford. He's a 56-year-old physician, and he basically does studies on the effects of the deep sea isolation on the crew, and is the general doctor. He has an assistant, Emily Hartford. She's 30 years old, and she works for Dr. Rutherford, who is her mentor. She was brought along after he had already started to become his assistant. And Nick, you are actually currently dating Emily.
Nick. You guys, Nick.
Nick is you.
Oh, did you give us names? I missed that part.
Yes, it was the subject line of the email I sent you.
I thought it said IT. Oh, it does have a name. Okay, well, let me change that then. That seems... otherwise, it's a bit confusing.
Nick could still be a long hair.
Oh, yeah, now the rest is good. I'll make him late 20s.
Nick dating. Could be female.
That's true.
Nikki,
yeah.
That's up to you.
Or Nick could have previously been Julie.
Right. Well, I guess he was. Okay.
So, yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
So, you started dating Emily about 5 months ago.
Okay.
So, you guys are on your way down the ocean, quickly becoming more and more water between you and the surface. As you guys are descending, suddenly the submersible kind of rocks as a huge whale type figure jets past it, and you can see it just through the porthole. As your descent continues.
Wow.
Cool.
How deep can they go?
Well,
is that common that we see whales around here, or is that unusual?
It's not unusual, but okay. It was definitely pretty big, this thing. But, you guys are a little bit shaken, but, it got real close. But, you guys, the submersible levels out again, and you continue going down.
And we have there's a pilot or something, right?
It's kind of autopilot.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like a guide-by-wire system. So you just...
Just an elevator.
Basically hit descend. And it takes you down to the NBS. And if I can get these freaking notes open, that would be nice.
They must be becoming more used to our presence. They usually come that close.
Yeah. So,
Oh, I was muted. I made a silly comment.
Very funny.
Maybe he was trying to mate with us. Don't know how big our submersible is. Maybe
that would make trying for some cut. No, that would make for some cuddling problems afterwards. Can one of you guys email me the link to the notes?
I can't
grab it off my phone currently.
There you go. Oops, I pasted it twice. I'll just paste it once. There we go.
Perfect. Now I can drop in what you see as you get within viewing distance of the NBS. And this is what you see.
Except underwater,
yes. But that's a good, that's the best picture of it.
Nice.
So, you guys are coming up quickly on the NBS, and just a little background, since you've been in here before. Each dome is independent of itself, and they're all connected by a tube about 20 feet in diameter with a walkway in the center and an air vent running along the ceiling. Each room, each room in the ring has three doors, which would be one leading to a chamber on each side of it. The next chamber, and then one that goes straight towards the central dome.
So this picture is missing basically the ring of tunnel that runs around the outer bubbles.
Yeah, it's a gray ring there, but you'll see it here on this other one that I'm pasting in right now.
Judging from the other ships parked next to it, this place is pretty big. What's the actual population down here?
Usually it's about, but depending on who's off and who's on leave. Generally between 25 to 35 people.
Oh. That leaves for lots of personal space.
Yep. Yeah, that's 5 or 6 people per bubble.
And, well, there's only one housing
bubble
area. Yeah, there's only one bubble with sleeping quarters. And this
awkward.
This is the layout for you guys. And you guys are coming up, and the ship makes contact and docks in Bubble 1, the docking bay. You see there's several docking ports for other mini-subs. And as you open the hatch, ready to see the hustle and bustle of the NBS as you're used to when you usually show up, the door slides open to the silence of an empty receiving and shipping bay. You don't see anyone around, and you can hear the faint drip of some water off in the back. And
I presume there's some kind of like intercom to the command center or something like that.
You don't see an intercom where you're at, but you think there's one probably closer to the interior ring door. Yeah, all you guys see in here is a desk for processing.
There's someone at the desk.
Yeah, normally in here you guys would see workers moving back and forth, prepping shipments, unloading cargo, probably other people just happy to see you and hear of news of what's going on, you know, out of the ocean. Nick, you're actually kind of dismayed that Emily's not here to meet you.
Well, yeah. There must be some kind of a event. Maybe there's a meeting, that's what I mean. Where would they have a group meeting if there was a group meeting? If they called everyone together for a safety talk or something?
Probably in the mess hall. That's probably where they could gather a good amount of people. No, the mess hall is actually in Bubble 2. That's the mess hall and sleeping quarters.
Oh, maybe we should head over there.
This is weird. Huh? This is
weird.
People should come and meet us.
Oh, I wonder if they're all together. Maybe there's a birthday party.
So there's no sort of internal telephone
surprise
or
party.
Anything like that on the.
You actually see. Yeah, there's a little intercom system.
Okay. Yeah. Then I would go over to that and call up the CIC and. Tell them that we are reporting has arrived.
You don't hear anything. Just some static when you hold and then release the button.
Well, that's damned unusual. Why is there no one on duty?
Huh. That's weird. Is there anything on that desk there of the receiving desk? You know, like back in 5 minutes, I'll sort of rifle through the papers a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead and give me a D6.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't seem very IT related information at all. That's a 3.
Yeah, actually, you're kind of like shuffling through the papers and you actually... one of the things you see is a memo dated a week ago, and it says, from the desk of Dr. Prescott, and it says, "Attention friends, I have made a great leap in our research and would like to share my findings with you all. What we have uncovered will change the world forever. The meeting will be this Friday at 12 p.m. in the dig site. I look forward to bringing you all into a new age. And, yeah, like I said, that was about 5 days ago.
And then the meeting would have been today or a couple days ago?
The meeting would have been a couple days ago.
Okay. So we're on Monday, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. So are there computers on the desk? Are there other...
No, there's no computer on the desk, just a manual receiving log and a shipping log and a couple manuals and SOP folders and stuff like that. Big bin of different types of forms.
When's the last?
Dates of the last activity.
Dates of the last activity are about 3 days ago.
Well, this is deeply offensive to my sensibilities, so I will head off to wherever the CIC is to find out what's going on.
Okay, so
if they're not responding, that's where I need to go. What's going on?
As the doctor heads off or starts to walk towards the exit of this bubble and the connecting walkway to the others, you actually, Doctor, you see there's what looks to be a woman with long black hair drooping over her face, her arms hanging slack at her sides, and she's kind of half stumbling, half walking towards you from the corridor.
Do I recognize her?
You do not, because you cannot see her face.
Okay.
Miss. And, she's very pale. She seems to be in a daze.
Where is everyone? Are you okay? I'll jog up to her to check on her.
And so, before she attacks. As you get within a couple feet of her, you see she lifts her head and kind of whips her head back, and you see that her face and her eyes are black, and her skin is covered with these bluish black circles, and she raises her hands and kind of flings herself at you with a guttural shriek. And
the hell?
You see two tentacles.
Such a way with women.
Two tentacles whip out from around behind her back and slap at you.
Dad, dear God.
What are you gonna do?
I'm gonna try to fend them off and stumble backwards.
Go ahead and give me a roll.
Am I just rolling one die, or... Sorry, what am I...
Yes, one. I don't think you're a fighter, Doctor.
Okay. That'll be a six.
Well, yeah, I mean... Yeah,
so what kind of
really
doctor is Doctor?
Medical doctor.
Medical doctor.
Medical doctor, okay.
Yeah. That would be a six. I don't know
which
way am I supposed to be rolling? Are we rolling high or low?
For this, you're rolling high when you're trying to do something. Sanity, you want to roll low.
So that was good.
Yeah, so describe how you fend her off. Her tentacles are slapping at you, trying to hit you about the head and face, and her arms are clawing at your shirt, trying to restrain you.
I will... Her tentacles are trying to restrain you. Yeah, okay.
Her tentacles are trying to grab your head and face, and then her hands are grabbing your shirt, trying to grab at you.
What the hell?
She's got her arms. She's got her arms. But then she has these two tentacles that are coming out from around her back.
Edward,
how far
Jonathan,
away was all
Edward,
this happening?
Jonathan. Kevin! Come! I need some help here. Help me restrain this woman.
I will dog over there.
And she tries to, you guys see she's trying to wrap up the doctor.
So where are the tentacles coming from?
Her back. Her,
they're coming out from her back and like coming around the front.
No, I'm not a medical doctor, but that doesn't look right. I'll try and assist. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll try to grab a tentacle and sort of pull it off of him, off of Charles Chucky.
Go ahead and give me some rolls.
Okay. 5.
And since you're both cooperating, the highest roll left for both of you will count.
Then 5 is better than 4.
All right. So, yeah, you guys are all with the doctor resisting and you guys assisting. You're able to kind of throw her off of the doctor and out back a couple feet.
And we don't recognize who she was?
No. No, you don't. Okay. You can't. Sure, her features are so distorted, she barely looks human.
That's weird. Okay. So do we have a hold of the tentacles, or have we just thrown her off? Or?
Yeah, you've just thrown her off. So there's a couple between you, and she kind of lands back and shrieks at you again.
Yeah, I want to try to subdue her. I want to help me get her down.
Okay.
I need to understand what's going on here. These tentacles are you are correct. They are not normal. What the?
Okay, so you guys want to try and restrain her?
Yep.
Yeah. I guess so. If that's what Doc says.
Come on, Nick. Wake up. It wasn't that long a trip.
All right. Someone go ahead and give me a roll. If you're all trying to restrain her, then you can all roll, and the highest roll will be for the
2.
Team. 4.
I got another 6.
Awesome. 6 is good.
You guys are able to basically restrain her. Her tentacles are flapping about trying to grab onto you, but you guys are able to take your jackets off and kind of like wrap you, kind of catch the tentacles and hold her down while the doctor is holding down her, you know, the human part of her body.
I want to just take a quick look at the tentacle. Are they just growing out of her skin, or?
Yeah, they've started growing out of her back. Basically, okay. Her back is opened up in 2 places, and the tentacles are growing out of it.
Okay, are the tentacles like human tentacles? By which I mean, are they? I mean, obviously they're not, but you know,
they look?
Are they covered? Are, you know? Are they? Is the skin on them human skin, or is it like there's, I don't know,
no,
octopus inside?
It is not.
The octopus tentacles are coming out of her.
It is more akin to octopus skin. And it's it is also just like her human skin, blue and black ringed, it has blotches of blue and black rings.
Okay. Well, this is damn
painful. And are there actual suckers on there?
There are.
Yeah. Okay.
We need to get this woman to the med bay. I need to.
Is she still struggling?
She's still struggling and shrieking.
Help me carry her. Between the 3 of us, we can pick her up. And...
Yeah. Sure.
Can't you knock her out first or something?
Is there a first aid kit in every room? And then
I was thinking a brick, but
right, yeah, but.
But you guys see that eventually, as she's shrieking and struggling, she eventually just kind of looks like she passes out and or goes limp.
Oh, that's convenient.
Oh, there you go, Kevin. That was easy. Come on, help me carry her to the
med bay. So where's the med bay?
The med bay is in... Sphere number, I think it's 4. No. Medbay is in bubble 3.
Does the submersible have some kind of radio or device that can contact the surface?
No. This only has communication to the NPS.
Mm.
Weird.
How convenient.
Yep. So I guess if we go around the ring, we'll if we drag her clockwise, we'll go past the mess hall and sleeping quarters tunnel, and we can see if anyone is there while we get towards the med bay. Which seems reasonable.
All right. So you guys are heading towards the med bay.
Yep. And if we get to number two, I will yell up the hall there towards room number two. Hello? Anybody home? What's going on?
And, well, as you guys walk into the mess hall sleeping quarters, it's kind of like... It's not like the ship. It's unlike the docking bay, where that's basically one big open room. When you go into the hall for the mess hall slash sleeping quarters, it kind of there's just a wall, and it has an arrow to the left that says mess hall, and an arrow to the right that says sleeping quarters. And out of the mess hall, you see that there's seems to be a black smoke billowing towards the ceiling and out into the corridor.
That doesn't look good. Looks like a fire. Can we smell? I mean, we can smell fire.
Yeah, you can definitely smell fire.
We left the toaster on.
I think I can get her from here. Nick and Kevin, why don't you guys go take a look and see what's going on?
Go check it out.
There may have been a fire and everyone else had to evacuate. Funny that we didn't hear anything, though. But
well, if they'd evacuated, you'd think they would have been up top.
Exactly. How do people evacuate from the station? Are there life pods or other submersibles?
You did not see any other submersibles docked in the docking bay.
But what's our general safety procedure? Like, what would be the normal thing to do if there was a fire, say?
Well, generally, there would be at least one to two mini-subs there. Generally, they're only meant to hold, you know, four or five people, but in emergency situations, it could be used to evacuate more people to the surface.
So there's and no then, escape pods. That sounds like an engineering failure to me, but...
It does. And where is this smoke going? Like, it's billowing out, it's moving.
It's billowing out, and it looks like some of it is just sitting up towards the ceiling, and there's the air vent in the corridor that seems to be drawing some of it in, but not most of it.
So does this...
You can go ahead and... Engineering, yep. You can go ahead and give me a two-die roll. Anyone else thinking about it could give a single-die roll.
Does this whole system have, like, a big centralized air filtration system somewhere? Is that how it works?
I got a 5.
Yes, it is. And, Kevin would definitely know that it seems the air scrubbers are not working at full capacity. Normally, the air scrubbers would be able to process this without issue. But if you guys look in the mess hall, you see that the smoke is billowing out of the kitchen.
I'll grab a fire extinguisher. Yeah. Surely there is one.
And you guys get in, and you see that the basically all the ovens are open and turned on in the highest setting, and just seems like they must have been on so long that they're starting to char and burn the stuff around it. They're big industrial ovens; they can get really hot, so you're able to put out the fire, the little bit of fire that's started in there, and the smoke stops, and you turn the ovens off.
It's bizarre.
Where is everyone?
Who would do this? The doors to the ovens were open?
Yes.
Yeah, who would do this? This is bizarre. I don't know why someone would... I mean, I could imagine leaving the ovens on if there was an emergency, but why would you have the doors open?
What was actually burning inside? Was it just...
There was just some food, old food that must have been left in there.
Self-cleaning mode.
Right. So, I mean, this must have been left on recently.
Days.
Otherwise.
Recently. Yeah. Right, that's true, because it would have burned out. It would have burned off. Sorry, and there's no sign of anybody around. Does the mess hall have, like, plates full of food sitting on the tables, or is it clean?
There is some errant food here and there, just kind of going bad on the tables.
So it is, okay, so like the glasses of milk are spoiled and that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And,
Once I get the woman to the med bay, I'm going to
yep.
call out to see if there's anyone there, and I presume there's not going to be an answer. So I'll get her up on a table and strap her down.
All right. You get to the infirmary, and you guys see that... you see that it's just pretty standard infirmary. There's several examination tables sitting along the walls of the room. The shelves are fully stocked with medical supplies and tools. So what is it you're trying to do there, Doctor?
I just want to get her up on a table and restrain her, put some restraints on her, try her down.
Okay, that is done.
Then, presuming that there's no one else around, I will start examining these strange wounds where these tentacles are coming from.
Yeah, it seems like they're a part of her. It is not natural. You have never seen anything like this before. It doesn't necessarily look like some sort of, I don't know, experimentation or anything where someone tried to fuse octopus tentacles to a human. It just looks like they naturally started growing out of her.
Medically, do I think it would be... not being a medical doctor myself, but I would, I would be tempted to want to remove them, right? I mean, that seems like the first place to start. These are...
Yeah.
Do I think?
Oh wait, sorry. Medically, you're not a medical doctor?
No, I am. I mean,
you are. Yeah. Oh, you and Jim not being a medical doctor. Okay.
Yes. The PC is a medical doctor. The player is not. But
yes.
I mean, you are. I mean, you've done amputations before. You think it's not outside of the realm of possibility for you to remove them?
That's what I want to start prepping for. Then I want to. I think we need to get these things off her and try to excise whatever sort of infection or something has gotten in her back that's causing these things to grow. So,
all right. So you glove up and you start setting out the tools necessary, you think, to amputate these tentacles.
Yep.
So it's actually, you don't think it would be that. Take that long to do it. You can't. I don't know. I'm not a doctor either, so. But you wouldn't think that there would be any major blood vessels or veins running to it that would be critical for the human part of her surviving. I mean, you don't know. You've never seen anything like this before. Yeah. You're prepping for that. Kevin and Nick, you guys have put out the fire and you're still in the mess hall. What do you want to do now?
I think we need to check those oxygen scrubbers, otherwise we could die rather quickly without noticing it.
Let's look in on Charles and then head over there. Make sure he got to the med bay all right.
Okay, so you guys head out. Past the entrance to the living quarters and head on down to the infirmary where you see...
And we'll call into the living quarters. Hello, hello. Get no answer.
No answer.
Okay.
And
So 9 in the middle is that's the living quarters, is it?
Nine in the middle is the dig site.
Oh, right.
Oh, of course.
So which one's... number 2 is...
Mess yeah, hall. two is right. The mess hall sleeping quarters. Okay. 3 is the infirmary.
Okay, so yeah.
Kevin, you know that the air scrubbers and generators are in bubble 5.
Okay. What is 4, just for completeness and the rest?
4 is the supply room / storage room. That's where they would keep any parts or supplies or, you know, food stock.
Okay. Where would I normally do my day's work? Or would I sort of go all over the place fixing?
You would probably work in bubble 5 and or right. miscellaneous other pods if they're having issues. Generally, like, all your parts and tools will be in bubble 4, but all the stuff you would really work on would be in bubble 5.
Okay, so if
where
I go...
IT room?
There isn't actually an IT room, but
probably
the most...
leaving out the damn IT room.
But most of the computers that they have would be in the research labs, which would be bubble 6, 7, and 8.
Okay. So if I wanted to, check on the communications stuff, there's no central sort of, like, for the intercom and that kind of thing.
It's just a very basic intercom system. I mean, it supposedly rings... it's just basically a panel that has different buttons, so you could ring to different bubbles.
Okay. All right, well, following along Kevin there as we head to 5 via 3.
So yeah. You're able to stop by the infirmary. Dr. LaPointe, you hear 2 people walking in behind you.
Hey, Doc.
Who's muted?
What's going on? Yeah.
What's going on with the fire? I'm busy. I'm focused on trying to get these, on cutting tentacles off this woman. What'd you guys find?
We got the fire out. Somebody left the ovens burning open. It's weird.
Oh, that's good. How is it? What's our oxygen look like? How long was the fire burning?
Hard to tell. A couple hours, maybe?
You guys don't really have an O2 meter on you, so you're not sure.
I think we're on our way to investigate, so...
You need any help here? You all set?
Yeah.
No, I think I'm good. I've got her restrained. I'm going to see if I can get these tentacles off her and see if I can find out what caused them. I don't know, some kind of infection in her back or something. I'll get them off and start digging around.
Gross.
Let me know what you find. Don't want to run out of oxygen down here.
Okay, so you guys... you head down past 4, and you get to the generator room and the air scrubber room. And when you open it up, the air scrubber room is filled with several large machines that are connected to tubes 3 feet wide that pull air in through the lower vents and distribute fresh air throughout the facility using the upper vents. Strangely, though, you see large dents have been put into air scrubbers 1 and 2. It looks as if someone had used a 6-foot bat on the equipment. They're surprisingly easy to repair, though. I mean, they're not that advanced technology. But it looks like definitely 1 and 2 are damaged, and you'd have to assess, you know, what you might need to repair them.
Where do 1 and 2 come from? Or Max?
Well, all the tubes kind of run up into the same spot in the ceiling, and then the ducting goes out from there.
So, Kevin, I'm just wondering if somebody bashed these up to try to not pull air from somewhere because there was something wrong with the air in those locations, or if these ducks pull from everywhere all at once, and somehow that'd be weird, but...
Yeah, go ahead and give me a roll, Kevin. 2d6.
2.
Whichever one's higher.
5.
It doesn't matter. It's not. You couldn't shut it off. You would only be able to individually shut off each one from the inside, from the air vent.
From the room itself.
Right, from the room itself, but you couldn't really shut it off from here.
Okay. So basically all 6 of them are the same, and so it just means the thing's working at 2/3 efficiency because 2 of them have been smacked up.
Yes.
Okay. I would have wanted to stop by 4 and sort of gather some tools, but I'd like to see if I can get to work fixing them up.
Well, we'll say that you didn't stop by, and okay. You're going back now.
Sure. I need to figure out which tools I needed. Okay, so.
Right, exactly. You needed to figure out what parts to bring. There's a couple different parts, so, you know. So as you guys go back to the supply room, when you open the door, the stench of the room hits you first, and it is overwhelmingly fishy and just off. And Kevin, you know you need 3 different parts, and you know that they're located in 2 different storage cabinets in the supply room. But the interesting part is that when you open the door, you guys see that on the ground all throughout this room are about 15 of these sleeping human octopus hybrids. You guys can go ahead and roll an insanity die for me.
Nice!
So we roll...
1.
Roll a dice.
If it's higher than your current insanity, which is 1, then it goes up by 1.
Okay, so I rolled a 2, so goes up to 2, and I panic.
Quiet, quiet. What's going on here?
I mean, does that mean a sort of we lose control?
You definitely start to panic. I mean, you start to hyperventilate. You're not like, you don't like fly out in a rage and start running away or anything. But you're definitely uncomfortable, and you see these things, and you realize that they're between you and the parts that you need to fix the air scrubbers.
Right. Let's close the door and go back to the submersible and get out of here.
Do we recognize any of these people, octopeople? I mean, by their clothing, by their outfits, by anything about
them?
Yeah,
they all seem to be scientists that were part of Dr. Prescott's team. You don't recognize them specifically, but you recognize them generally. It looks like all the scientists that were working there. The lab scientists.
Okay. Hold on, Kevin. These are us. These are the scientists. So we got dropped off in the middle of the ocean by some boat and took this elevator down, and then the boat just leaves, and we have no way of telling the boat to come back and pick us up ever, right?
The boat that dropped you off may have left, yes. I mean, it's supposed to come back in a week's time or whatnot.
Oh, dear.
That's what I mean, right? So we have no way of telling... In an emergency, there's no way for the station to communicate to somebody up top to say, hey, send the boat out, we're going to be floating on the ocean in an hour.
No. Okay. A small, like, Zodiac-type boat up at the...
The buoy?
Up at the buoy where the submersible goes up and down.
That's awesome. So, Kevin, I mean, there's not going to be anyone up there. It's just going to be in the middle of the ocean.
It would be about a 2 to 3 day emergency excursion from the buoy to the nearest coast.
Right.
Off the Philippines.
Are there any weapons anywhere?
In the supply room?
Or anywhere.
Anywhere. Preferably not in the supply room.
Well, you know there's definitely big wrenches and tools and stuff in the supply room. And, I mean, you guys can both give me a idea roll with one die.
Four. One.
Yeah, Kevin, you don't think of anywhere else there would be weapons, but Nick, you definitely think maybe in the infirmary. I mean, they probably have some scalpels or like a saw or something like that.
Kevin, I'm gonna just try to get his mind off the octopeople for a little while. Kevin, based on the air thing, let's deal with one crisis at a time. What do you think? Can we lock the supply door?
Go ahead and give me a hacking check.
It's an electronic thing?
Yeah, there's a little door panel.
So I can use my IT die?
Yeah.
5.
Five. Yeah, you're able to put a temporary hour lock on the door.
Okay. So Kevin, what do you think about the air handling? If there's not very many people here, then is having 2/3 good enough, or do we need to get that fixed?
Kevin, you would know. Don't even have to roll that.
Sure.
Yeah, with the amount of those things that are in there. And since you're not sure if there's any other people on the ship or the sphere, plus you guys, and you're not sure how long the fire was burning, I mean, O2 levels are probably getting pretty low.
Mm. Is there an O2 meter in the place where the scrubbers are? Can we go in?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did I happen to notice when I was...
Yeah, you noticed when it was there, it was just about to dip into the red. It was about 2 pixels from dipping into the red.
Mm. Okay.
So...
We need to fix them, otherwise...
Well, if you want to tell me what we're looking for, I can try to tiptoe in there and get some... get the parts.
They seem to be sleeping?
Yeah.
Yeah, they seem to be sleeping. And with that, I think we'll cut back to the doctor. Doctor, you can go ahead and give me 2d6 and take the higher result.
2d6 and the higher result... that's a 6, then.
Damn, Doctor.
I'm getting them all out of the way now, so that when things get serious...
Well, that allows him to see into the other universe, does it not?
So...
These things?
So, basically, when you amputate these things, they still wriggle a little bit when it happens, and they, As you basically amputate it, there's still a little like tendon or something there.
Yeah.
And as you're pulling the tentacle off and kind of trying to saw at that last little bit of flesh or tendon, or it looks like some sort of vein, not a normal vein. It doesn't have blood flowing through it. But as that happens, you pull the tentacle. Suddenly the tentacle comes free with a pop and a squish, and you see this kind of tennis ball sized sack comes out of the opening along with the tentacle, and you realize that it's some sort of venom sack or poison sack. And you can go ahead and give me a insanity roll.
My sanity is a 1, and that's a 5, so yeah.
Goes up to 2.
Yep. Ah, what the...
And you see that the lady just, you know, she kind of starts to stir and kind of like shift a little bit when you remove that.
That's why I have her tied down, eh?
And yeah, you continue the process on to the second one.
Yep.
Pop, squish. And now she is tentacle free. But she still looks the same.
Well, I would, yeah.
And by the time you pull the tentacle out of the second one, and you go back to check the first wound, it looks like a new tentacle bit has started poking out.
That's not right. Okay. I am going to...
And actually, why don't you give me another insanity roll?
Of course. That's a 4, and my sanity is 2, so up it goes.
So yeah, at this point, you are thoroughly perplexed. I mean, that the healing rate on this thing is insane. Whatever the hell it is, yeah. You thought it was unnatural. This is making it seem way more unnatural.
Yeah. Well, this is clearly deeply disturbing and not right. So I feel I need to euthanize this woman, and I am going to put one of the tentacles in a specimen jar, and put the specimen jar in a bag or backpack.
So okay.
Take it with me.
Fair enough. You're able to do so. And how do you euthanize this creature?
Given the fact that I just lost 2 sanity points, probably in the quickest and most efficient way I can come up with, which is by opening up her throat with the scalpel that's in my hand.
Perfect. And you feel successful as the blood, which you would think would be red, but is actually kind of a blackish, more of a blackish color now, oozes out and covers the examination table and starts spilling onto the floor.
Yep. And then I'm going to go find the others.
And as you're heading back down the tunnel, the walkway, you see the others heading back towards the supply room.
Gentlemen, what's our oxygen look like? Did you get it fixed?
There's another dozen of these creatures in there. We were about to go try to sneak in around them and get some parts.
Well, whatever this infection is, it's... Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's probably gotten to everyone that was down here.
I think it's going to be getting us, too.
I think we should leave as quickly as possible.
I agree entirely.
2 days on the open ocean in that little raft.
Better than staying down here.
You, Nick, you haven't seen any sign of Emily yet.
Nope. I sure haven't.
You do know that she did have sleeping quarters in the living quarters. If
we should probably just take a quick look to make sure there isn't anyone who has somehow managed to avoid the infection, and then just get out of here.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. So, can we go via the mess hall? Did we notice, were there supplies there? Were there sort of emergency rations or?
There was still some food in the
grab a load of that. And make our way.
You didn't. You didn't see Dr. Rutherford or Emily, did you, in the infirmary?
No, there wasn't anyone in there.
Or no signs of them?
Nope.
All right. Huh. I guess that's the only places they would be in the sleeping quarters or in the infirmary, it seems like, or the mess hall. Looked like it was all scientists in the research room somehow. I don't know what they're doing in there. It's in the storage room. That's kind of weird, too. Anyway.
Sorry, quick question about the my patient. Did I eventually figure out who she was?
Yeah. Well, she has a research badge clipped onto her on the inside of her lab coat, or the remains of her lab coat.
Okay.
It says Angela Byers, research technician.
Okay. Well, I was wondering if there was something about, you know, once they get infected, they don't kind of leave the area, you know, so it's not like it was the customs dude, right? So,
oh, right, right.
You know, they just
right.
stay in their area or something, but okay. That's clearly not the case then, so no problem.
So I guess, yeah, circle back around and head to back to room two, dome two.
Okay. So, yeah, all of the crew's rooms are here.
All right, I will go find Emily's room to start with, and then I'll find my room.
So, when you get there, most of the rooms look to be in normal condition, but, When you get to Emily's room, it's a very different story. Her room looks to be ransacked, and written across her wall in red are the words, "She is mine." And you guys can go ahead and give me an inspection check of a D6.
So by knowing this room well, do I get a second die? Or?
Yeah, you can get a second die since you know Emily. You've spent nights in this room.
Still only a 4. But.
She's yours, and, Nick? You wrote that there, right? You're,
okay. And
extra possessive relationship you guys got going on here? That's...
Kevin, you
I
got a 5?
That.
I did, yes.
All right, so, Nick, you're looking around, and you pick up a picture frame that it's been knocked to the floor, and it's a picture of Emily as a child with, it's got a date in the bottom of it that says May 2nd, 1998. And currently it is 2012, yes.
So she would have been a teenager in the picture.
No, it's actually clearly her as a child.
So like a 5-year-old or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's weird. She lied about her age in the wrong way.
And,
Is that about 19 right now?
Yeah, it's actually, it says, 30? Yeah, it does say on the back of the picture, age 5. Emily, age 5. And then, Kevin, as you're looking around, you see, you actually find Emily's diary, and you kind of flip through it, and doesn't seem like very much useful information, but there's definitely a few entries in there about Dr. Prescott making advances on her, but being rejected. And she talks of her time in the lab, and the last entry talks about how she's interested to see what Dr. Prescott's findings are that he's so excited about.
Emily was interested in what in the doctor's findings, but didn't.
Yeah, from the memo,
right?
That you guys saw. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what you find.
Huh.
Anywhere else you want to look?
Yeah, I'll check out my room and see what else. See if there's any people around anywhere. I mean, we'll sort of do a general search of the sleeping quarters, right?
No, yeah, you don't find any signs of any people here.
What about the doctor's, Dr. Prescott's sleeping quarters?
Yeah, you guys head to Dr. Prescott's room, and you see that his room's immaculately clean. Hanging on walls all around the room in frames are newspaper clippings of his accomplishments, mostly about ones that make note of his above-average intelligence for his age. His journal's not hard to find. It sits on his desk, in the center of the desk, just by itself. And when you guys look at his journal, the first entry, he talks about some sort of tome being uncovered. And towards the end of the entry, he's talking about
tome how... Tome like a book or tomb like a
book? Tome okay. Like a book.
Okay.
He speaks like it's his birthright, and it's somehow... called to him, and that's how he found it. The second entry details his frustration that the tome is giving him, how one minute he thinks he's able to translate it when it suddenly changes and the letters and characters are completely different from when he looked at it before. The third entry, Emily catches his eye that day. He decides to give the tome a break for now. He comes on to her pretty strongly, and she rejects him utterly. It sends him into a deep depression. the fourth entry, it comes to him in a dream. The book is named The Libro Semitas Torto, or The Book of Twisted Paths. All the answers he was looking for are now open to him. And then there's a large gap of missing pages. And then the last page that has something written on, it just says, "It is time," with the rest of the page ripped out.
So missing pages, meaning pages were ripped out, not that they're blank.
Right.
Is his handwriting getting crazy towards the end, or he just keeps writing in his normal scientific?
Yeah, he keeps just writing in his normal writing style. And as you guys are seeing that, and kind of like, what is going on? You hear a scream pierce the air over the intercom. Oh God! Please help me! And, Doctor, you actually recognize this as the voice of Dr. Rutherford.
I will get on the intercom myself. Dr. Rutherford, where are you?
Oh, God.
This is Dr. LaPointe. We just arrived.
Dude, Charles, is that you? Oh, God. You've got to help me. Those things are after me.
Where are you?
I just got to the infirmary. It's one of those things, and you hear a huge crash and a bang. Oh, God! It's breaking through!
I was just in there. we'll be right there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's just about through. Remember to watch out for... And then you... It's just static.
I'll grab a baseball bat that I saw in somebody's room. It was signed by so-and-so, and they brought it down as their one souvenir. Or all whatever. Right.
So, you guys rush over to the infirmary. And the infirmary is not how you left it, Doctor.
Of course
when not. You get there... All you see is the door, which is, it's kind of like double doors that slide in from the sides and meet in the middle. And the doors are partially open, but you see that basically all the stuff that was some cabinets and whatever that were piled up and around that were near the doorway are now, like, there's a big cabinet that's been knocked over and just basically a whole bunch of stuff from the cabinets and packs of medical supplies just, like, thrown up into a makeshift barricade really quickly. But you do see that there's a hole made through that, like something's gotten through into the infirmary.
Doctor!
You don't hear a response. You're going to have to force your way through if you want to get inside.
Is there like a slime trail or dripping ichor or...
You see some spots with some wetness on it, but not like a slime trail or anything.
That looks like whatever was after him probably got through here.
Yeah. We don't hear anything?
No, you don't hear anything. You force your way through.
Well, is there like a the individual outer bubbles here, do they each have like their own pressure doors to seal in case of...
Yeah, they do have emergency pressure doors.
Okay. Where is that pressure door in relationship to the to everything else? Is it on our side of the barricade or on the other side?
Oh, it's on your guys' side.
Oh, okay.
So we've basically, come through if you look at the bubbles, there's that little kind of box where in the walkway, the central ring walkway, where that connects each bubble. So there's basically four doors on each one. They're all regular doors, but they all have the ability to, you know, they have safety pressure doors that'll drop down and totally seal off.
Okay, so if needs must, we can just close the door and seal this thing off. I'm of a mind to do that, I'm honest, if I'm honest.
Leave Dr. Rutherford in there.
Dr. Rutherford?
So it looks like something
are you still there?
In.
Nope, you don't hear anything. And what was that, Edwin?
It looks like something broke in, but not out.
Either way. I mean, it could go either way now. There's a hole that you could squeeze through.
But the piles of stuff, is there like stuff outside the door, the sliding doors? Or is it
all... there's stuff outside as well.
Oh, okay. I'll go in and look. Maybe he knows something about what happened to everybody.
And when you get in there, you see what looks to be the about a third of the remains of Dr. Rutherford. You can go ahead and give me an insanity check.
That is a 2, so that brings me up to 2.
And you can go ahead and give me an investigation check.
Okay. 3.
All right. So, you definitely identified the corpse as Dr. Rutherford. And you also noticed that there's a small security camera that you didn't notice before in the corner of the ceiling.
Okay. So I'm assuming the security camera goes back to the lack of non-central IT that's somewhere on the station.
There's actually a computer here. Just a small computer.
Alright, I will hack into it and download the video.
Alright.
Do the rest of us make insanity checks for...
If you guys go inside after him, then yes.
Yeah.
Insanity check,
guys.
Please.
Seems safe in here. Messy.
Oh my goodness. Yep. Go up to 3.
Nice.
I'm at a 3 and I'm over 3, so... Oh, well, that's unfortunate.
So, you guys get in there and you see Kevin is clacking away at... Nick is clacking away at the computer. And Yeah, you're able to pull up the current or the recent past video logs, and you see that the first video shows people running out of the dig site, screams filling the air. Several people pass the doorway, but many of them are yanked back into the dig site by tentacles that shoot out and grab them. You don't. Not in that video. The next video is of an NPC slamming into the air scrubbers. It looks like someone threw him into it from behind. After crashing into the scrubbers, he does not get up again. The next video after that is of a few people trying to use the escape pods, but to no avail. A mass of tentacles whips into frame, grabbing the screaming people and pulling them back towards the dig site.
The escape pods are off of room one? Were off of room one, or were they trying to go from somewhere else?
They were off of room one. Some of the NPCs some of the people managed to get the doors open on the escape pods, but then you see one of the tentacle creatures jumps into the pod and basically rips the people into pieces inside of it. Switching to a different camera view, you can see some of the higher level scientists dragging people through the corridors with the tentacles back to the dig site.
The scientists have tentacles and are dragging people, or the scientists are dragging tentacled people?
No, the first one.
Okay.
Tentacled scientists dragging people.
Okay.
And you see that after, they're dragging people back, and you see that their skin is all very pale with the rings on it and the tentacles coming out of their back. And the final video you see is actually the video of Dr. Rutherford running into the infirmary, quickly barricading the door before running to the intercom, and you hear your last conversation play out with him in the background, and then something starts banging on the door, and at first it seems to be holding, but then a tentacle squeezes through, and then another, and more, and it just kind of like pushes a hole through, and the tentacles grab Dr. Rutherford, and he goes stiff and falls to the ground, and then you see a couple of these things come in and just basically quickly eviscerate him and start eating him and then leaving.
A couple things meaning people with tentacles on their backs, or a couple things meaning... Okay. So the tentacles that were pushing through the door were probably from several
people, yes.
Things. Okay. And the woman, Angela, whatever, is she still on the table with her throat slit?
Yes, she is.
Okay. Not that we saw that before, but...
And, and the last thing you see in the video is you guys can see Dr. Rutherford's eyes as he's still alive, but paralyzed as these things are ripping him apart.
God.
Oh, yeah.
Does that require another sanity check?
Sure, since you mentioned it, we'll say yes.
I feel I do need one, but I passed that one, so still that's just bad. On the three.
So talk to me again about the escape pods.
Yes.
We saw the video of people trying to get to the escape pods, and then they were dragged back by the tentacles. And then we also saw video of the escape pods getting ripped up by the tentacles?
No, you saw people trying to get there and didn't make it because they got caught. You also saw some people did make it, but the tentacle creature got in and they didn't have enough time to escape before they were killed.
And so, by tentacle creature, you always mean a person with two tentacles coming out of their back?
Yes.
Okay, and that's all we've seen so far is just that type of tentacle creature?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, whatever this infection is, it started quickly. Looks like it came out of the dig site. Maybe something was buried down there and they dug it up.
Seems likely. Weird.
Can you transfer that security video to a flash drive?
I'm sure
the authorities would want to see. We want to see that, understand.
Yeah. Can download the video, not a problem, or just take the hard drive out of the machine.
So where are the escape pods relative to where we are? We're in Med Bay.
Right. So they would have been at one, I believe, at the docking site, but there were none there when we got in.
So where were the others trying to get to escape pods?
They were all it was all in the docking bay. That was the only place there were escape pods.
And now we think all the escape pods are gone, or that they are there.
They were not there when we came in already.
Right.
Except for the one that we came in, which is not an escape pod, but something else, I guess. Maybe.
The elevator.
The elevator.
Yeah, you guys came in like a ship pod.
Okay. So there's one pod left.
So that's our only way out, is what it comes
to. Yeah,
Okay. Shall we go?
You know what another way out is that might be better? We should be able to reverse the density of the magic woo-woo stuff, and the whole station will float up to the surface.
Let's just take these things with us.
That is a possibility.
Well, yeah, but then we'd have the, you know, we'll get the call at the Air Force or something. That's easy at that point. And I think if we float up to the top, certainly somebody will see us and come find us quickly. If we're in a little dinghy up there, poof.
How do we do that then?
No, I don't think we want it. I don't want to stay in here with these things any longer than we have to.
I wonder if there's a way to, you know, we could. I wonder if there's a way to flood 9, flood the dig site.
That is a possibility.
Close up all the doors to the outer ring and flood the inner circle. I don't know who's in there though.
You think it's possible to do that?
Well, could we seal the pressure doors and flood all the external bubbles? That way we wouldn't have to just deal with all these things and then get out of here.
Well, I think they're in the inner bubble.
Well, I thought you saw some of them in the.
We did see some, and that's true. There were a bunch in room 4 there in the storage area.
So maybe we just go around and seal each outer bubble one by one, flood them,
drain them,
the inner bubble, and go.
I worry if there's anyone alive still, but Rutherford was alive, so there could be other people still surviving.
Kevin and Nick, you guys can both give me 2d6 rolls while you're thinking along this line.
Pair 5.
4.
All right. So, Kevin, you know that it could be done. You could flood all the spheres. You know that you would have to use the security system, basically the different control modules on each pod. And you would have to have the security clearance on the IT system to do it. Kevin, I'm sorry. You could probably do it, but you would not be able to without the high enough clearance card. You would need to have a certain card. It's not like just the normal pass-through doors where you can basically hack them with like a backdoor code.
If I found my boss's security card, I could do this.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it might be in his room, but might not.
It's actually you know that only Dr. would have the clearance to do that.
Only Dr.
Only Dr. Prescott would have the clearance to do that.
Oh. So, yeah, it could be done in principle, but it'd be quite the hacking job, and otherwise we'd have to get Dr. Prescott's badge in order to control all the flooding and moving the station around. He was kind of a control freak.
And he's probably deep in the center.
Yeah. I just don't know about leaving folks behind. They're still in there. So Dr. Rutherford in this video ran from, we couldn't tell where. He just came into the med bay. That's all we saw.
Yeah.
So if we don't want to leave right now, which we kind of do, we'd still have to fix the scrubbers, it seems like. Mm-hmm. Although, maybe if we found I wonder if there's a way to turn off the scrubbers to some of the rooms. Like, if we could turn off the scrubber, if we could turn off the air return to room 4, where all the octopeople are, we could just clamp down on that hose and prevent air from going in there. That might do something good.
Did we think that was a possibility? Or didn't we determine it all just leads off into...
I'm thinking if we go to, like, right before room 4 and find that duct and block it up, you know, cut into it and block it up on that side of it, then they would no longer get fresh air into 4.
Well, it seems like just piss them off. These bubbles are fairly modular. I mean, you're the engineer. Can't you seal the door and just shut off air to an individual module?
Engineering check? Or
yeah, go ahead.
A 6.
Yeah, you think you could do it.
But I'd need the tools to try in module 4.
You'd need the tools in mod 4.
It's possible, but my tools are in there.
How many of those things were in there?
A dozen 15. Or more.
Oh, okay.
Can't you whip up some kind of knockout gas with your chemicals in here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, get mix some... what was that thing in science class they used to tell us not to mix together?
Yeah, bleach. Mix all of those together.
Bleach and ammonia or something?
Yeah, we could certainly do that. Unfortunately, my medical roll of 2, we don't really have anything in here that's a little more elegant than that, but yeah.
And the cleaning supplies are probably all in the supply storage room.
All those kind of supplies are in the, those are all in the supply room.
Oh, maybe in the kitchen. I bet there's some good cleaning stuff in the kitchen we could mix together and feed that into the vent into room 4.
Doctor, you can go ahead and make a check to see if you think anything household would be possible to do that with.
Just one die or 2?
2.
Okay. The household check is a 3, so...
You think it's probably not going to be enough to affect the whole room.
What if I want him to
room.
Succeed?
Oh. I mean, we can certainly mix some bleach and ammonia and get some mustard gas, but these bubbles are a little bit too big to flood with. We would need an awful lot of it to really flood the an entire module.
Whole bubble.
Yes.
Well, I've got it locked for a little while longer, but it looks like they just ripped through the door, so I'm not sure that's going to even do any good if they try to get out.
Well, they ripped through a barricade, right? Not through the pressure part.
Yeah, the barricade.
I thought they ripped through the sliding doors also.
They pulled it open.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The barricade.
Yeah. So the fact that I put a lock on the door does not give me a lot of confidence at this point if they just force the door open.
Well, maybe we should just take a quick run around see if there are any survivors, and then just get out of here and leave it for someone else to deal with.
Let's go to the research labs anyway. See what we find there, if anyone. The only places we haven't been yet.
Okay. So you've got
Research
Lab 1, archaeology. Research Lab 2, anthropology. Or Research Lab 3, marine biology.
Room 6, whichever that is, since we're going in that order. Is that archaeology?
Yes. Yep, they go in order. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Archaeology, there's... in this room, you see small tables set up at different points, each with its own set of tools and logbooks. You see pots and fragments of other artifacts strewn about the different tables. There's a giant pressure safe used to test the durability of the artifacts and to determine if they can be brought back to shore. Next to the pressure safe is a steel dry box that's magnetically sealed to keep contents at a certain condition. Keeps samples until they're ready to be examined in depth. And, yeah, that's what you guys see.
No people. No weapons. Shovels. Shovels. There's going to be a shovel in here.
Sure. Yeah, there's a shovel.
Better than a baseball bat. I guess we can go to the next, to anthropology. I mean, we're just looking for people, right? Not clues at this point.
Yeah, unless there's something that particularly stands out.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing different in this room is that you guys hear the humming of the pressure safe.
Right. So there's something in there. It's safe, under pressure. Okay.
Under pressure. So that's what's there.
All right. Yeah. Let's go to the anthropology research lab.
All right. So
sort of taking a nervous look back towards the center as we get to each of those spokes.
Can we see anything looking down into the center? I mean,
no.
Okay.
You guys can't see anything in the center.
Doors are closed.
Yeah.
Right. And there's no windows and doors. Okay.
No.
Right.
So anthropology feels slightly warmer than the other rooms you've been in. The familiar smell of old coffee greets your nose. There's a pot of old coffee sitting on one side of the room. Images of the city of Lay cover the walls. There's three desks that sit along the wall as well with some computers on them. And it's hard to tell if this is the way the room was left or if it was raided, but papers lie in a map pile atop and to the sides of the three desks. And, yeah, you see that the floor is littered with the remains of coffee cups. And you guys can go ahead and do some investigation.
One.
Two.
Three.
Yeah, so you guys are all kind of looking around, and you all see you're looking at the pictures of Lay on the walls, and as you guys are looking at them, they almost seem to be impossible architecture. There's weird angles that you didn't think existed, and just kind of doesn't really hold true to the law of physics. And so you guys can all give me insanity checks for that.
Five.
Six. Does anything special happen when you...
Three again for my Santa four.
Good. I'm up to three.
I'm up to four.
Right. Yeah. How are you guys all acting at this point?
Not good. I'm probably sweating profusely.
Frenetic.
Yeah. I've been nervously looking over my shoulder at every opportunity.
Yeah. Does Dr. Prescott have an office somewhere?
No, he basically had his room. That's where he had his desk and everything.
Okay. So he didn't have, like, a computer?
No.
Use a room? Okay. All right. So there's no people in here either.
Nope.
So I guess moving a little bit faster, we can go to marine biology.
So marine biology. This room is colder than any of the other rooms. In large tanks across the room sit several sizes and colors of fish. One single tank lays empty. The label on it reads Blue Ring Octopus. And Doctor, you can give me a biology roll if you like with two dice.
Biology 6.
All right.
3, so 6.
Nice. Well, you know that the blue-ringed octopus can be characterized by their blue and black rings and yellowish pale skin.
Sure.
When it's agitated, brown patches on it darken dramatically and the iridescent blue rings or clumps of rings appear when it's stressed out and angry. Yeah. It also has a highly venomous bite with a paralytic agent. And you also check on the side of the tank, and there's a sign-out form. And it appears that Emily was the last one to sign out the specimen.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Weird. Do I know what, if that was normal for Emily to be studying the biology, the animals?
Yeah, I mean, not, well...
I mean, did she ever talk about how she liked to study fish and stuff?
No. Probably like what she would do, but, I mean, she is a scientist, so, like a medical assistant. And so, it's not out complete realm of possibility, but yeah, it's definitely not the norm.
And is the sign out from before Friday or after Friday or Friday?
After.
After Friday.
Oh, no. It's before Friday. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, after Friday, I don't think she would have bothered to sign it out.
Right. Just taking it.
Right.
I wonder why she would have done that. So, is there a lab table where one would have... I mean, I don't know what you do with an octopus when you sign them out. It's a little weird. But is there a... I don't know. Is she doing, like, juggling experiments with it? Or, I mean, you know, what's the... Do I have any clue what one would do?
Yeah, I mean, there's a table and some tools and stuff there, but nothing like, you don't see anything.
There was nothing in her journal about this. You're actually have disappeared. You've gone beyond breaking
he
up.
He was breaking up pretty bad before that. Yeah.
Yeah, and now he's gone. He must have walked up.
Really? Hold on.
Yep. Back now.
No. I'm here. Hold on, let me switch off my Wi-Fi. I think that's probably the issue. If I go on data, it should be...
That didn't work.
Yeah, now we don't hear you at all.
That was the opposite of better.
I mean, you're no longer breaking up. No, we just don't hear you at all.
Well, this is going well.
Yeah, still alive. Oops. That part, not so well.
And we lost him altogether.
Yep. Maybe he's redialing in or something. Seems like they sort of had to make a poorly built station in order to make a reasonable module.
scenario.
Okay. Am I back now?
You are back.
All right. So
is there anything with Emily's handwriting, any notes or anything like that around? And
nope.
You said there was nothing in her journal also, right?
Okay. Nope.
Well, it's like you're getting yourself a pet. So I guess that's all the rooms except for the center.
We don't want to go in there, do we?
We really don't want to go in there.
I think we at least have to take a look.
Yeah.
After you.
Well, I guess so. Let's go up and around to the top here, up to the docking room, and that way at least if we have to run, we can get back to the docking bay and jump in our elevator.
Oh, and so as you guys are saying that, you hear the shrieks of these octopus things, tentacle monsters, echoing down the halls from either side of you.
Oh. All right, I'll shut the door to the marine biology lab.
Well, don't lock us in here. There's no way out.
What? Well, yeah, but there's no way. Maybe they'll just pass us by.
You really believe?
And
I don't want to go out in the hallway with them. They're between us and the escape pod. Right. We're hearing them coming from the two circle hallways, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So.
So you guys, what are you doing? The shrieks are getting closer.
Well, I'm not going to get locked in here. So
okay.
If they're coming from the sides, then I'm going to go straight into the dig site, and I'll run to get out before Nick locks the door.
Wait, what?
So
Nick,
the doctor
Nick can
is...
lock himself and Kevin in the marine biology, and I'm headed straight into the dig
site. The doctor has opened the door to the little tunnel to the dig site. And he runs up there, and he presses the open button, and the door doesn't open.
Oh, well, that figures. And I can hear the things coming from both sides, right?
Yes.
And I've closed the door to the marine biology.
You've closed the doors to the other sides of the corridor?
Oh, that too, yes, yes.
And,
yeah, I closed the ones to the hallways and to marine biology, yeah.
Yeah, so you do that, and you hear the crashing of these things on the other sides of both doors in the on either side of the walkway tube.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying to get in.
Can I figure out why the door to the dig site won't open?
You input, like, your normal passcode, and it just goes, beep, beep, locked.
So, like, a manual release or some lever that I have to pull really, really hard to...
Nope. Nope.
Oh.
Nothing like that.
So I'm just stuck in this intersection.
Stuck in the hallway.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is there other windows in these doors?
I don't think Nick would have locked you out. Of the little part of the corridor, he just closed the door.
I think he would have.
But locked the other two sides.
I think I would have. But if he yells, I might let him in.
Yeah, you guys have two directions to go. One, to the docking bay, or to the dig site door, where the doctor is stuck. And the other way is back into marine biology.
Well, I'm in the marine biology. Yeah, I haven't left it. I've only left it enough to shut the doors to the circle. But I'm in marine biology.
Kevin,
okay, so you're
not
in the little.
How do I open this?
I'm very confused. Where am I?
You're
either in the marine
the
biology, or at the doorway to the center.
You
hallway.
Can either be with the doctor or with Nick. It's up to you, Jonathan.
So Nick locked himself in 8.
Yeah.
And
the doctor ran down the hallway to try to get into 9 and was unable to. So he's in that spoke between 8 and 9.
Right.
And then the octopus people are between 1 and 8 and between 7 and 8.
In there's the doors from the walkway. Okay, I see.
Right, yeah. There's like a little room at that intersection that has 4 doors on it, apparently.
Okay, I understand now. I will... Yeah, sure, I'll be with the doctor trying to open a door.
Okay. You can give me an engineering roll to try and figure out... You can try to figure out why the door's not opening.
5.
Yeah, it's been reprogrammed to a specific different code, and none of the codes that you know will work.
If only we had a hacker.
And you guys start to hear more banging, and the doors start to pry open a little bit on either side of the corridor, and these tentacles start to push through.
So, well, if they're able to force the doors open, can we force this door open?
Nope, different type of door.
Oh.
good.
Are there ventilation ducts that we can climb into?
Not in here, but there would be in marine biology.
Oh.
Right, let's... Quick, let us in! Hey, open up!
Yeah, I'll let him in.
And then can we barricade this door?
Yeah, I'll try to lock the door as best I can, and they can barricade it with whatever we have.
Yep. All right, you do so. You hear the things are still breaking through the outer doors. And, you guys go up towards the air duct?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So you're able to get up to the air duct, get inside, and why don't you guys all give me a... you guys all get up, you all get inside, and you're just closing the door, or the vent behind you, the vent grate, as the creatures burst in and the door breaks, and they get finally through your barricade. You see them just basically tearing up the room everywhere looking for you.
Quietly close the vent.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you guys are now in the ventilation system.
Can we use the ventilation system to move directly and quickly to 1?
The docking bay, yeah.
You are able to. But when you get there, you see that the room is filled with these tentacle creatures.
So there's nowhere to go but into the center, it seems like.
That walls seems are like a bad around. Idea.
That would seem so.
All right.
We crawl that way then.
Anyway, have they already destroyed the elevator thing? Or can we not tell?
It doesn't look like it. It looks like they're just like frantically searching around for something or someone's.
So if we wait long enough, maybe they'll just go away and we can escape. Seems unlikely.
How much longer are you guys good for? Because we could probably finish this in about 15 to 20 minutes.
I'm good for that.
Fine for me.
And we could probably finish it in about 30 seconds if we jump down out of the vent. I guess, do we want to head towards the dig site or wait for these guys to leave? We do want to know. We're very curious. All right, I'll start crawling towards the dig site in the vents.
All right. When you get to one of the ventilation openings, there's just one basic opening on the north side, directly south from pod one. And you see that there's a giant pink ball in the center of the site. If you guys have ever seen the movie Sphere, many of these tentacle creatures are standing around the ball chanting. Leading them in the chant is Emily. Oh. She stops for a moment and gestures to one of the creatures, who produces Dr. Prescott. Prescott gives an impassioned plea for his life, but is met with a swift end when one of the creatures stabs its fist and a tentacle into Prescott's stomach and draws out his intestines, adding it to the rest of a large pile. The ball seems to pulse and hum as his blood is added to the ball. Much of the crew lie in a large pile to the side, hollowed and discarded. Only five more crew members are left. Two of the creatures stand over them, ready to add the next one to their dark ritual. You guys can go ahead and give me a spot hidden check if you like.
I would like to crawl my way to the air scrubber room.
Nice. I get a one on spot hidden.
I get a four.
So on a one, Nick, you notice that there's some shovels and picks set to the side of the bubble that could be used as, you know, weapons.
And I have a
or a possible last ditch effort to flood the dig site. yes, Doctor, you have a question?
Yes. I have completely lost track of the count. I thought the crew count down here was only like 20 or 25 people.
Way higher.
that's where I've gotten confused, right? Because there were like,
I guess it's a little higher.
There were like, you know, what, a dozen or more sleeping in the crew quarters, and then a bunch that were attacking us from each corridor, and then a whole other mass that was.
Well, here, I'll play semantics. There was a bunch of scientists. There was a bunch of scientists as creatures, and then this is part of the crew. Okay. So,
that's. I was just making sure that.
But the people chanting is like dozen, not. Three.
The people chanting is like five or six right now.
Oh, still a lot.
Go ahead.
Do we need the sanity roll for that?
Yeah, sure. That works.
Six. I'm up to five.
Excellent. Now you can start trying to reduce it.
So you can reduce it by destroying, you know, mythos, knowledge, or artifacts.
I want to make my way to the air scrubbers.
Okay, that's you start goal. Making your way to the air scrubbers. Doctor, you also notice that you see around the interior of the dig site, there's six latches that seem like they would be able to manually disengage the dig site from the sea sphere.
Okay.
Emily is tentacled, right?
Emily is not tentacled.
Oh. Interesting.
So okay. The latches are out in the open, right? This is all just kind of one big open space?
Yes. It's basically the seafloor or part of a raised part of the seafloor that has some strange stone, you know, remnants of some stonework and such, some artifacts lying about the ground, half poking out.
Is there a way to get over Emily on the ceiling roof? Thing, duct work.
You guys are probably about 40 feet from them. If you dropped out of the ventilation shaft, which is about 15 feet or so from the ground.
But is there a way to crawl along the ceiling until I'm actually above her head?
No.
Okay.
Is the space big enough that one could at least convince oneself to believe that you could get around the inside without being seen by the people in the middle?
No.
Oh.
So, all right, I think we'll go with Jonathan. Jonathan, Kevin, you're at the air scrubber fence.
Are there creatures down in this room, or is it?
You do see a creature in this room. Singular.
Okay. I want to jump down into the room. My ultimate goal is to gather up something and start smashing the other air scrubbers.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to try and do.
There's not really anything around for you to smash it, but you think you could, fling open the panel and just kind of rip some of the cabling out, and it would basically make it stop functioning.
Can I do an engineering role to kind of figure out the most efficient way to...
See how well you do it, if you do it quickly or if you don't do it before the thing attacks you.
A four?
Yes, you do. You get over there and you rip it open. Unfortunately, this thing is now running towards you and shrieking and trying to slap you in your face with its tentacles. And it does so. And as you feel this tentacle rake across your face, you quickly feel the effects of the paralytic venom from the from it take hold. And you start to go sluggish. But you can react and do something.
Is there anything flammable around here?
You might have some raw electricity available to you. Those nice power cores that you ripped
out.
That would
be very nice, yeah.
You can go ahead and try and do that with the 2d6. Grab a power cord and rip it off.
A five.
Nice.
A five. Yes. You're able to just reach behind you and grab one of the main power cables and rip it from its socket and just jam it into the tentacle that just smacked you in the face. And you can take a damage because it conducts.
Okay.
But I'm sorry. And you also take two damage from the thing hitting you.
So I'm down to three. Okay.
And the thing kind of shudders and then falls to the ground smoking.
Ah, excellent.
And but you can definitely feel like the left side of your face is totally numb, and the numbness is kind of creeping down into your left upper arm.
I'm going to spend the rest of my time here trying to start a fire.
Okay. Go ahead and give me a 1d6.
1d6. Six!
Whoa.
All right. Yeah. You're able to start a fire. Well, you're taking some time, and you're starting a fire. So... let's go back to the others. What are you guys doing?
Emily is chanting from a book, or is she just chanting?
She's chanting from a book.
All right, I'm going to jump down and run towards her, and my plan is to tackle her, but I will yell out her name as I get up to her. Emily, what are you doing? And then I'll dive at her.
And, as you dive at her, go ahead and give me a d6 roll.
I'm going to spend use my insanity die. Or is that better to redo it later if I fail? I'll just roll it and find out. Okay. So I rolled a 3 on one die, which should be some sort of marginal success, right?
Marginal success, yes. So you're able to get up to her and... you you kind of like knock into her. But you get surrounded by these.
All right, let me re-roll with my insanity die.
Oh, okay.
This time I get a 5, and the non-insanity die is the high one. My insanity die was not the high one.
Okay, so then, but do you get better than your other roll?
Yeah, 5.
A 5? Okay. Then, yeah, you're able to, knock her over, and, so what are you trying to do? Yeah, you try and knock the book out of her hand or grab the book?
Yeah, knock it out of her hands and sort of roll with her along the floor of the thing.
She says, "Nick, what are you doing?"
That's what I asked you.
I'm trying to restore the city. It will raise the city to the surface and restore it to its former glory. You should join me.
You're killing us all.
I'm making us enlightened, Nick. Don't you see? It's what we've wanted all along.
Doctor?
Yeah, doctor, what are you doing?
So as soon as Nick jumped down and started rushing towards the group, presumably drawing all their attention, but like before he got there to tackle her, where he's just distracting them all, I'm going to jump down, and I'm going to start releasing all the self-destruct switches.
All right. So you go ahead and you can get to the first one. Go ahead and give me a D6 sneak roll.
I'm not really sure I'm trying to... Well, I guess I am trying to sneak, but hopefully they're distracted by Nick. No, I'm not...
For the moment.
I'm not being at all sneaky.
Okay.
I'm just all assuming right, that so... I'm just hoping that they'll all be distracted by Nick.
Okay, so the ones around Nick, the other tentacle creatures, they start to swarm around you, Nick, and they start to slap at you with their tentacles.
Can't do this. These things are an abomination. They're evil. What happened? I will obviously try to not get slapped too much.
Go ahead and give me a D6 dodge roll. And, doctor, you get another latch. 4 more to go.
You know what? I'm going to roll the insanity die thing again, because that was not what I would like to do. There we go. So I rolled a pair of 4s.
Okay. Yeah, you're able to avoid a majority of the tentacles, but one still slaps you for 1 damage. And you kind of raise your right arm to block it, and the thing hits you in the arm, and your arm starts to go numb.
Okay. Can I roll with Emily towards the book?
Yeah, go ahead.
You want to roll a die roll for that or something?
Yeah, go ahead and give me a D6. Okay. And then, doctor, you can get another latch.
I get a 4.
4. Okay. You're able to roll over towards the book with Emily still entangled with you.
Excellent. I will start. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Start seeing if I can rip it up.
Okay. We'll deal with that in a moment.
Yep.
And doctor, you get another latch, and so that's 4.
Yep.
And you notice that between you and the next latch is one of these tentacle creatures that's staring at you and starting to shriek. Jonathan, you've made your fire.
Okay. What now? Can I still move?
Yeah, you can move. Your upper part of your body on your left-hand side is numbing, face is totally numb.
Didn't expect her to think this far ahead. I'll... Can I peer out into the corridor?
Yeah. You slide the door open and you look out into the corridor and you don't see any of these things.
Okay, well, that's good. Can I make my way round to... What happens if I go towards 4? Do I see things that way?
You don't see anything yet.
I'll keep going. My aim is to...
Yeah, right about 2, you see that there's 2 of these tentacle things in the corridor, like, sniffing about.
Okay. Can I then head back down? can I make my way into the air vent, say, in 3? And
sure.
I'll try and crawl back around to 1.
Sure.
Yep.
All right, so while you're doing that, we've got the others. Nick, go ahead and make your roll to try and do your ripping up of the book.
Ooh, so that's a 6, but it's a 6 on the insanity die. So I need to make an insanity roll also?
Yes.
Okay. So that's a 1 on the insanity die this time, so...
All right, so yeah, you start to rip pages out of the book.
Awesome.
And, Doctor, what do you do? There's this thing between you and the next latch.
Just as a quick aside, I'm going to need to go in about 10 minutes. I'm just going to barrel through them.
All right,
tackle,
go ahead
run
and
them over.
Give me a roll.
One die?
Yep.
6.
Jesus, Jim. All right. So, yeah, you barrel through them and you get to the 5th latch. Click.
It's that 5 sanity that helps me roll high.
Exactly.
And, Nick, what are you doing now?
I am going to be...
Hold on. All these things try and smash at you.
Yeah, they do.
And a couple of them hit you. And now you're starting to numb up all over.
So I will run as far as I can with those pages as I'm sort of trying to shred them and run towards the perimeter.
Yeah, so it's pretty comical as it's happening and sad.
Yep.
You're kind of like running and stumbling and like just going slower and slower and like trying to rip the pages out, and you just like start losing more and more feeling in your hands, and the book starts to droop and then finally like drops out of your hand, and you're kind of like just staring straight ahead, and then you fall flat on your face over into the dirt, paralyzed.
Okay. Yep.
And as that happens, you hear a click and a loud groaning as the doctor hits the last latch, and the biosphere separates from the bottom of the dig site, and water starts to rush in and fill the bubble quickly. And Kevin, you're hearing, you hear in the distance, just as you get to the vent for 1, you hear a big groaning and a huge rushing of water somewhere towards the dig site.
Okay.
And it's starting to fill up quickly. Go ahead and give me an idea roll with a d6.
4.
Yeah, the air vent's probably going to start shooting water in towards you relatively quickly here, and that's going to help fill all the other pods.
Right.
Quickly after that.
Are there still creatures in 1?
There's 1.
I want to jump down and run to the escape pod.
Okay, go ahead and give me a roll. It's going to try and tentacle you as you run by.
Can I roll with my insanity die?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that a re-roll both dice?
Re-roll both dice.
That's not so good. Three.
A three?
Yeah.
You make it by, and it just barely grazes your back with the tentacle, but still enough to get you. So you know that pretty quickly here you're going to have a little more paralysis, but you do make it to the escape pod or to the shuttle.
Okay. I will just try and close myself in and release it.
Okay. You turn around, you hit the emergency shut valve, and you start it up and start to pull away from the Nautilus biosphere. And as you look back through the porthole on the submersible, you see that the structural integrity starts to buckle and waver on the NPS, and it kind of just implodes as the weight of the ocean and the water going in kind of floods it and crushes itself. And you slide down against the back sidewall of the sub as the rest of the top half of your body starts to be completely paralyzed.
Mm. At least that takes the pain away. Does it? I don't know.
You can't feel anything for now.
Okay.
And that is Bubbles and Troubles.
Awesome.
Nice. Wow.
That was a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. Cool.
Good job, everyone. Usually, always one person gets away. And I don't know if you guys want to spend the extra minute. You all had secrets you don't know about, so.
Yeah. Well, my secret was I was employed by a rival corporation, and they were going to pay me to bring back anything useful. But screw that when there's tentacle people.
Nice. Mine was just that the facility should not be destroyed. Yeah. At all. That's my main thing. So luckily I didn't know about the doctor.
And mine was, I am a Delta Green agent. My job was to, if something happened, to destroy the place, eliminate any witnesses. So I was just trying to figure out when the right time would be to slit both of your throats. And recover whatever can be recovered.
One got away.
Yep.
Mission fail.
Possibly Delta Green would be waiting at the top.
That's true. Although the communication was lacking, so you never know.
Nice. Well, that was cool. Fun, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem. Well, you guys have a good rest of the weekend.
Yep.
Take care, guys. You too.
All right. Later.
Bye. See you next time.